The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
I don't know of any group we should care for more on this earth than the persecuted church.
And people say to me, why are you not scared? And I say, because perfect love casts out all fear.
I welcome you to our new series, Love Costs Everything. Before we dive into that, I want to let you know that all activities for tonight are canceled. There's a thing called the Super Bowl happening. We'll be back in engaged next week. We also have a high school retreat next weekend. So if you have a high school student like to go, we'll do a middle school treat. A couple months down the road, but that's right around the corner. I think we can still take you if you haven't signed up yet. Love costs everything. This is going to be hopefully an eye-opening series, and more than that, hopefully a heart-opening series. Today we're going to kind of build the foundation on which everything we do is based on, and that is looking at Jesus Christ himself, our cornerstone. The one who demonstrated for us the greatest love of all and how he was willing to give everything for you and for I. We're also going to take a deep look over the next couple weeks into the persecuted church around the world. As I've been doing some study and viewing different things on the persecuted church, I've seen things that I wasn't aware of. I had heard there was more persecution in modern day than there has been in the history of the world, but I didn't know to what degree. And it's going to be, I hope it shakes us. With that being said, some of the content that we're going to go over is not going to be particularly suitable for children, young ones. And I know that we've got some young ones here today. And so today is your warning, and but come next week, you may want to consider having them go to children's ministry. The content is real, though, and we have to have our eyes open to the truth of what's happening around the world. Just because we celebrate freedoms here in the United States, freedom to worship, does not mean that those around the world have that same freedom. There are more people killed for their faith now than ever before. And we have reached a time in history where there are more Christians outside of the United States than here. There are more Christians in China than in America. And most of the Chinese believers are in underground situations where they have to keep their faith secret or face intense persecution. We're going to have an opportunity to hear from a couple in our church. Next week, I want to encourage you to come back as Dediel, our friend and brother in Christ from Cuba, will be here teaching and leading us next week and opening our eyes up to some of his own struggles as a believer. And the week after that, we're going to hear from Awesome, who is awesome, but that's also his name. And he is going to be sharing with us some of his testimony. He's from Pakistan and some of the religious persecution that he faced there and that he is aware of. If you have the opportunity, which all of us do, so take the opportunity, I'd love for you to find out how to get a hold of this video. You can order it online and take some time to watch it. It is a great documentary on the persecution of the church around the world today. I want to invite you. We'll watch some clips of it together here as a church, but I want to invite you to really just ask God to open up your heart, to really discover what it is that he has for us. We are a part of the body, not just here locally, Hope Hill Church, but we are part of the greater body of Christ on earth. And when one part of the body suffers, the whole body is to suffer. And we need to discover what that means and how we can be partners with those around the world who do not have the freedoms that we have here. So I invite you to jump in, dive in. We've got a special hut in the back. You can turn around and look at that underneath the basketball hoop. Inside that hut are real stories, pictures, descriptions of believers, missionaries, pastors, individuals who have faced different forms of persecution because of their faith in Christ. And you'll find calls to action in there. And each week following this week, we're going to have handouts for you. And we want this to carry on, not just for this month of February, but throughout the year and for really throughout the rest of our life, finding ways to partner with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. And so we'll have prayer cards for you made available. We'll have some other resources for you to take so that you can start praying on your own, praying in small groups, praying our community groups. And next week, we're going to take some special dedicated time to pray together as a church after we hear a little bit more about what's going on. So today, I want to lay the foundation for this series. And I want you to turn with me to John chapter, 1 John chapter 4. God, I pray that as we look into your word, that our hearts would truly be open. God, your scripture says, he who has ears, let them hear. So God, I pray for a supernatural moving of your Holy Spirit, that you would have our ears and hearts open to what you have us to hear this morning. God, I pray that you would help us to not just receive these words, but to embrace them and to, in response, ask you, God, what it is that you're leading us to do in response to what we're hearing. So lead us, God. Speak to us as we look into your word. In your name we pray. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Love is a word that is often used in many different ways in our culture, and it can mean many different things. You can love anything from your favorite ice cream. What's your favorite ice cream? Say it, 1, 2, 3. That wasn't loud enough. Your favorite ice cream, 1, 2, 3. I heard strawberry. That's one of my favorite. Okay, I heard some chocolates. Great. Anybody here ever have SpongeBob Briars before? That was my favorite, and then they discontinued it for some reason. We love a lot of things. We love ice cream. We love a sports team. Hopefully, we love our children and our spouse. We can love all kinds of things. Love can mean a lot of different things. There are many different ways that love is used. And what I want us to capture today is, what is the essence of true love? There are different words for love, different roots for the word love. First of all, we have phileo, which leads to brotherly love. The city of Philadelphia, phileo. We have eros, which is romantic love. We also get the word erotica from that word. Kind of that, we won't go there, that weird kind of love. And then we have the third kind of love that's being referred to here, and that word is agape. Agape is perfect love. It is a God love. It is the love that we're talking about here when it says that God is love. God is agape. This is a love that is unconditional. It's a love that is never ending. It's a love that is based on choice, not on feeling. Do you ever wake up and not feel in love? Has that ever happened? No? Wow, I'm all alone. Of course, I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about the Broncos. There are some days I don't feel in love with them. But anyway, there are some days that love is truly just based on feelings and emotions. And one of the main reasons America has the divorce rate we have is because we just don't feel in love anymore. Of course, there are other reasons that that people should separate. But falling like out of love and not feeling that is not what our love should be based on. Our love, the kind of love that is being unfolded here, is the perfect love of God that is based on me deciding to love you no matter what you do or don't do. It is a commitment. It is loving even when it hurts. It is loving and putting the other person's needs ahead of your own. This is the kind of love that God has for us. God is perfect, and we are not. And yet he loves us. There is a love that is easy to give to a friend, but have you ever tried to love somebody who wasn't a friend? Have you ever tried to love somebody who had hurt you deeply? Have you ever tried to love somebody who was your enemy? This is what God calls us to. This is the kind of love that God has for us. God is love. His love is perfect. His love is never ending. And it is freely given to anyone who would receive it. No matter what you've done, no matter what you think about doing, no matter what's going on in your life, God loves you. The second thing that we want to see in this passage as we keep reading, verse 9 goes on to say, this is how God showed his love for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. We've often heard it said in Scripture in places say that no greater love has anyone than this, than to give up his life for a friend. Some of you have served in our armed forces and military, and you have seen friends and loved ones pass away because they gave up their life for a friend. This is a great love, to put your own life in the way of danger in order to save or rescue someone you love. That is great love. Jesus demonstrates an even greater love for us, it says in the book of Romans, that even while we were sinners, against him and his enemies, Christ died for us. He demonstrates his own love for us and that he was willing to die for us. As he died on that cross, he made it possible for us to truly have an open opportunity for us to receive the fullness of God's love in our own lives. That cross was a bridge between fallen, broken man and an all-perfect, all-loving God. And if you were the only person on earth, he still would have done it. He would have given up his life for you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life. And Christ did this for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. We are trying to pursue things in life, a way of living, a way of pursuing happiness. That's one of our core values as Americans, the pursuit of happiness. But far too often, when we stop being happy, we feel like we have the ability to stop loving. If it gets too hard or too difficult, we'll just find an easier way to have our happiness felt, our felt needs met, our happiness met, and we'll move on to something else. But this isn't the kind of love that God calls us to. He sent his Son into this world to die for us so that he could live through us. Verse 10, this is love. Not that we love God. Did you get that? This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for us. How many of you grew up singing that song, "Oh, How He Loves Me"? Sing it with me. Oh, that was the wrong note. I can't sing. Nathan, what's the right note to start that song on? You don't know that "Oh, How He Loves Me"? Somebody who sings, start it for us, and we'll join you. Okay, we've got three songs going on.
Not David Crowder.
Oh, how? No. And that's not the right one. It goes, "Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me." No, no, I'm singing the wrong words even. Strike that from the podcast. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. There you go. We love God because he first loved us. Ephesians tells us, before the foundation of the world, before you and I were even something on this earth, God chose to love us. And we love him simply because he first loved us. Do you know the love of God in your life? He loves you, and he wants you to know it. And in turn, at discovering the greatness of his love for us, that should drive us to fall in love with him. We love Jesus because he first loved us. That is the definition of love. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice. Jesus took our place. We are born, you and I, with sin in our life, separated from the love of God, unable to even receive the love of God without somebody coming and bridging this gap between us. Jesus came and became an atoning sacrifice, taking your place and mine, paying a debt because of our sin in our life. He took that and he paid that debt and said, "That sin that's in their life, I want to pay. I want to give my life because I love them. I don't want them to miss my Father's love. I take the punishment that they deserve and I take it upon myself." The scriptures say that he who was sinless became sin for you and me. Jesus took our place on the cross. That is love. He demonstrates his love for us in taking our place as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Verse 11 goes on. "Dear friends, since God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another." I'm not going to make you say a name, but I want you to raise your hand if there's somebody in your life that is hard to love. I'll raise my hand as well. For many various reasons, we can have struggles in our life that make it almost impossible. Actually, I'll restate that. That make it impossible on our own to love in return. It is impossible for us to love the way God calls us to love on our own. But yet, God still calls us to love in the same way. It's been often said to me growing up that God will never call us to do anything that he won't enable us to do. And so even though loving others, our enemies, those who have hurt us, on our own is impossible, God makes it possible by letting his love love through us. Verse 11, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Jesus said to his disciples, "Others will know you are my disciples by your love." Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Scriptures say over and over again that if we love each other and we allow the love of God to work through our lives, others will see our good works and come to know the love of our Father in heaven. We are called to love as God loved us. That is a very difficult thing to do. And so we're reminded in verse 13 that there is a way for this to be possible. Verse 13 says, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. Apart from God, we cannot do the things of God. For this reason, Jesus, when he left his disciples on this earth, after spending 33 years of life on this earth, living a perfect, loving, sinless life, and performing the greatest act of love by giving his life for us, he said to his closest friends, I'm now leaving you this mission to love the world as I have loved you, to take this message of love to the world that I have brought to you, to teach them everything that I have taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and be my witnesses to this world that needs love, that needs my salvation, that needs my forgiveness. Go to them, but wait. You cannot go on your own. And in Acts 1:8, he says, my Father will send the Holy Spirit, and through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you will then be able to love as I have loved you. You will be able to then be my witnesses into the world. We can't do it on our own. For so long, so many of us have tried to struggle through pains and hurts and heartaches and woundedness in our life, trying to love and falling short. And you got to stop trying to do that because you'll never succeed. The only way that you can love the way that God is calling us to love is through the presence and power of God's Holy Spirit in our life. And today, maybe your first step to loving the unlovable is today saying, Christ, come into my life and fill me fully. Help me to fall more in love with you. I surrender my entire being to you. Help me to love where I cannot love. Let your love be love in the areas of my life where I am absent of love. We need his power and presence in his life. It's not enough just to be religious. It's not enough just to believe that God's there. We've got to fully surrender, denying ourselves, dying to ourselves, and saying, God, come and be who I'm supposed to be in me. Last month, we talked about this year shouldn't be about becoming a better version of yourself, but instead dying to yourself and letting God live his life through you. Verse 13, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you letting his Spirit fill every part of your being? And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him. You want Jesus in your life? Acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord of your life. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Verse 16, and so we know and rely on the love of God. You have to rely on the love of God in order to love the way God wants you to love. And so we know and rely on the love of God for us because God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. So the call that we're going to be called to this month is we're going to look at the lives of many in this world who have come to know the love of Christ and who have been willing to love him in return no matter what is at stake. We're going to come to see, and you've already begun to see the picture unfold, that love costs everything. That God himself, Philippians chapter 2, because of time, we don't have time to get into the passage this morning. But Philippians chapter 2 says that Jesus himself did not consider remaining in heaven, being equal with God, but gave that up, lowering himself, and taking on a lowly lifestyle, humbling himself even to the point of death on a cross, taking yours and I's place. God's love cost him everything. Jesus gave up everything to demonstrate his love for us. But the kind of God we have is not a God that does it all for us. He then invites us to this mission to join him in it. And as Jesus came and laid down his life for us, he then says, and now I want you to lay down your life for those who do not yet know me. Jesus calls us to follow in his footsteps. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, there's a passage where it's talking about how even if you are living in a part of the world where you are a slave, and even if your master treats you harshly and beats you and does not treat you fairly, you are still to love them. We're going to see some stories of people who are in other parts of the world today who are beaten, who are threatened, who live in the most dire circumstances, and yet God calls them to love those around them. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, it says that Christ suffered for us as our example, and we are to follow in his footsteps. Many people look at Christianity as a way to abundant life and pure joy. But in many ways, we have no clue what that really means. And my hope is that as we go through this series, our eyes will be open to realize that God was willing to give up everything for us and calls us to be willing to give up everything for him. How are you giving up everything for your Lord and Savior? How are you living a life of complete abandonment and willingness to follow him because of what he did for us? God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete. Love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We're going to look at the lives of some over the next couple weeks who should, for every reason, be living day to day in total fear. And many, unfortunately, abandon their faith because of the things they have to face. And yet there are many who, when having their very life threatened to be taken from them, do not deny Christ, but instead say, he is my Savior, I will never deny him. And many of them, those are their last words. What can we do about this? Well, first of all, we first need to realize that love costs everything. That God himself was willing to give everything so that we could experience his love in our lives. And now he invites us to love him fully in return and to then love others that he is loving. There isn't a person in this world that God is not loving, and God wants to use us to take his love to them. And then what is that love going to cost you and I and others around the world? It can end up costing us everything. Do you walk in such a way with God that if you had to give up everything because of your love for him, would you be willing to do it? The greatest thing we can do for those who live in this kind of fear is to pray for them, is to lift them up, is to unite with them as brothers and sisters in Christ and partner with them, doing everything we can to lift them up in their time of need. My hope is that as a church, we will discover the fullness of what God's love is for us and how we can in turn love him back and love our brothers and sisters. I'm excited for this journey. I'm excited for what it's going to do as our hearts and eyes are open to him. And I hope you come back next week to hear more about this. Take a look at this video.
الرب راعي فلست أحتاج إلى شيء في مراعي خضراء.
He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul.
Me guiará por sendero de justicia por amor de su nombre.
चाहे मैं घोर अंधकार से भरी हुई तराइयों से होकर चलूं.
I will fear no evil.
For you are with me. Your rod and your staff.
هما معي يشددان عزيمتي.
Aderezas mesa delante de mí en presencia de mis angustiadores.
Tú mere sataane walon ke samne mere liye mej bichhata hai.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me.
Wa askun fi bayt ar-rabb ila an abada.
Father God, I pray that, God, I pray right now for those in this world who are having to possibly be giving up everything because of their love for you. God, I pray for those families who have lost a loved one even today because of their faith in you. I pray for those who are in prison right now because of their faith in you. I pray for those who are doing everything they can to share your love with others, no matter what the cost. God, I pray that you would help us to discover this true love in our own life. The depth of this love that you call us to, that you never promised that living for you was going to be easy. You actually told us that as the world hated you, if we were to follow you, God, the world would also hate us. So God, I pray that as many around this world suffer, that we would join in them, join with them in lifting them up in prayer and lifting them up in support, however, God, you lead us. You show us, God, how we can partner with those who need partners. Make it clear to us, God, what we can do. At the same time, God, I pray that these lives of complete abandonment, those who are willing to give everything, would be inspirations to us to realize how much, God, your love costs and how freely you give it to any who would receive it. But God, that we would not just be casual followers, God, but that we would be all in, saying, yes, God, we are willing to give everything for you. All that I am, all that I have, is yours. Help me, God, to follow you. God, let us know that it starts with us first looking to you as the perfect example of love. God, you loved us in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of who we are as individuals. God, you still love us. And if there's somebody in this room this morning who's never opened up their heart to receive your love, I pray they would do it right now. If you're sitting in this room and think that you've got a past that is just embarrassing and you're ashamed of, God still loves you. If you've got something in your life that you think that is just in between you and God and you can never really receive the fullness of God's love, that is a lie of Satan. And my hope and prayer is that you would just ignore that lie and call out to God right now saying, God, I receive your love. Come into my life. Make me the person you want me to be. Forgive me of the things that are wrong in my life. Make me yours. Come into my life and make me new. God, I pray for those in this room who are calling out to you right now, that you would embrace them in this moment. God, help them to feel your presence. Help their lives to be open to the moving of the Holy Spirit as you come in to make them a new child. God, I also pray for those in this room who, those of us, God, who are believers, who have put our faith in you, God, that you would help us to see the areas of our life where we're not willing to give up everything for you, where we're not willing to count the costs. God, that we would be driven to total abandonment, to discover what it means to really live for you. God, over these next few moments, I pray that you would just meet us in the quietness of our response time. As we're reminded, as we take communion together, of your body being broken for us, of your blood being shed for us, help us to remember that you did it. You died for us so that we can live for you. And meet us in these moments, God. Bring new life. Bring new passion. Help us to discover what it truly means to live for you and to partner with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to lift them up in prayer. I ask all these things in the power of your loving name. So over the next few moments, I invite you just to pray about the things we've talked about today. If you would like to pray with somebody, we'll have prayer teams in the back. I'll be up here at front if you would like to pray about anything that God has touched your heart with. If you today invited Christ into your life for the first time, please come let one of us know. I would love to pray with you. And then as you feel led, as you feel ready, let us remember that this is all about what Christ did for us. Come and receive this symbol of Christ's body being broken for us, of his blood being shed for us, and let us embrace what he has for us. I invite you to respond as the Lord leads you this morning.